I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Revelation chapter 21, please. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, if you're able, please stand to your feet this morning. If you're unable to stand, we understand that. Remain seated. But the rest of us that are able, we want to stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven in a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this sobering yet encouraging passage in the Word of God. Use it to help us today. God, we have great needs in this room listening on the internet. And Father, for that to be accomplished, to be a blessing, and help us to be better Christians, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit for that task. Use him now. And Father, if there's somebody that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today the invitation they would settle that matter with Christ, whether in this room or listening on the internet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, check your telephone. Make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. Look at me. If you look at your phone for any other reason than to look at the Bible, God is going to make you so cross-eyed that when you cry, your tears are going to go down your back. Okay, so don't mess with your phone or turn it off or turn vibrate, whatever is necessary. You ever known someone so cross-eyed when they cried, tears ran down their... Never mind. All right, never mind. The subject is heaven this morning. Heaven. It's been on our minds a bit lately, hasn't it? We have seen several of ours go to heaven just recently. The quartet sang Haven of Rest again this morning. I thought Brother Tom would like to hear that one more time today. We had Miss Ruth's memorial service yesterday, and the James family wants to be sure and say thank you, church, for your kindnesses to them at this time. See, well, heaven is a good thought, Pastor Johnson. It better be more than a thought. All religions, Christian or non-Christians, all of them teach some kind of heaven. Some of them teach heaven on earth. Don't see how that's much hope. Even if it gets better, it's still going to be what it is. Most all religions not only teach about heaven, they teach that there is a way to get there. And unfortunately, almost all of them tell you that there's something you have to do, to be, or become in order to get to whatever that is, heaven, eternal life, whatever. But heaven's talked about quite a bit in the Bible. Here in the Revelation, if you noticed in verse number 1, would you look at it again? It tells us there's two kinds of heaven. In fact, it says, now look at the verse please again this morning as it was read. Did you notice this is of course Revelation? It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. You'll notice in verse number 1 of Revelation 21, coming to the conclusion of this book, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So to have something new, something old has to take place, pass off. In the Bible, now listen, please listen this morning. In the Bible, there are three heavens in the Bible. Apostle Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2 when he said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell, who was caught up to the third heaven. The first heaven that's mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's talking about the atmosphere, the air we breathe. Look at where the planets spin their courses. That heaven, the dwelling place of stars and planets and the very atmosphere and air that we breathe. That's heaven number one. Heaven number two is described in the Bible as a paradise. It's the heaven that is now. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, as he turned to that thief and the thief turned to Christ, Jesus said to that man, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, when he said he was caught up to the third heaven, he said, I saw things that I can't even really describe for you. But he called it paradise, 2 Corinthians 12. So the heaven, number one, is the air we breathe, the atmosphere, the place of the planets where they dwell and the stars. The second heaven in the Bible is the heaven that is now. That place now where people go who know Christ as their Savior, they go to heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You don't wait and go to heaven. If you're a child of God, you draw your last breath on this earth, you draw your next breath in the presence of God. In a place called paradise. We don't know a lot about it. We're going to talk about that heaven this morning, the heaven that is now. In fact, the next 2 weeks, this Sunday and next Sunday morning, God willing, we're going to talk to you about the heaven that will be. That's the third heaven. That's the one Revelation 21:1 talks about. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth. So the third heaven is the heaven that's going to come, the heaven that will be. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there, not here, there to prepare a place for you. If I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. It kind of shoots the heaven on earth thing down. But here's the point. I want to talk to you today about the heaven that is now. So what do we know about it, Pastor Johnson? First of all, we know it's temporary. Because the Bible tells us the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That place where God is now with the angels and all of our saved loved ones, that place is a temporary place. So why does God take it away? Well, I'll give you a reason for it in a moment, but it's just in his determination that that's how it's going to be. Can I tell you this then from that? Can we draw a little simple lesson about a temporary place called paradise that God doesn't tell us a lot about? There's not much that we know on that side. There really isn't. Paradise, if you look it up in the Bible, it refers to a place like a park, a beautiful park or a setting of some kind. Okay? What else? Don't really know. For some reason, God decided to not tell us much about the paradise of God where our saved loved ones are now, where a whole host of people have been for centuries. So what's the lesson about that? Something is beautiful, and it's beautiful. I guarantee you. This is no second-class citizen, no loner. This is a beautiful place. So it's temporary because something is beautiful, but God doesn't tell us a lot about it. You know, to me, I read about that, and I think to myself, so that's why some things in this life seem so temporary, because they're just... That's why there's unanswered questions in my life about things, because it's temporary. Look at me, friend. Eternity is forever, but the paradise of God is temporary. For some reason, that's how he's decided it. And in your life and in my life, there are some things that just are temporary. And God doesn't always explain everything to us. He doesn't. He doesn't always give us answers for everything. It's amazing how people, by the way, most people who don't want to answer a lot of questions are really good at asking a lot of questions. Hey, look at me. Most people who are really good about asking questions of God are not very good about answering questions from God. They want to do all the asking, but none of the answering. Hey, paradise is a temporary thing. We don't know a lot about it. It's a beautiful place. God is there. The angels are there. Saved loved ones are all there. Everybody's happy and it's all good. But we know this. Some things, ladies and gentlemen, he just doesn't explain to us. Some things we just don't get the answer for. You know why? Because it's not going to last. Guess what? Nothing you see is going to last. Nothing. Nothing's going to last. Absolutely nothing. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That which is seen, the Bible says, is temporal, and that which is not seen is eternal. So then I guess we need to get our value system straightened out. See, we think if I get everything I want in this life, I'll be a happy person. It's not going to last. But if I got this job, but it's not going to last. But if I had that car, but it's not going to last. And if it's a Ford, it won't even run. The truth of the matter is, we're not going to make. You get that? Oh, if I could just be a teenager again. Why would you want to be that stupid? No, just kidding. No, why would you want to back up and start all over again? No. I am 68 years old. Shocking, I look like this. 68 years old. I wouldn't want to go back to 67. I don't want to try that one again. 67 was a rough year. I don't want to go to 67. Last time I checked at 22 wasn't all that hot either. And there was a lot of good years in between, but I want to back up on. But nothing is permanent that you see. Even the paradise of God is temporary. And because, look at me. And because it's not going to last, what difference does it make? Hey, look, what difference? Where they are right now, we don't have a lot of ideas of what they're doing there. We don't have a lot of idea what it's like in that place. We know it's beautiful. Hey, look at me. If you're near God, it's good. Oh, yeah, it's good. They've left this life and all the struggles and battles and heartaches and disease and troubles and difficulties and government. Thank God. Oh, they're somewhere else really hot. But the truth is, it's all it's all behind them now. So don't think because it's temporary, oh, it must not be very good. Oh, it's good. If God made it, it's good. If God created it, it's good. If God put it in its place, it's good. If it's where he wants people to be by him, if it's by God, it's good. And you know what? In this life, ladies and gentlemen, it even says in Ephesians that we can live in heavenly places in this life. If we ever get a Cracker Barrel in Reading, the kingdom's here. We made it. Till then, heavenly places. You mean a little heaven on earth? Yeah. Listen to me. Where you and God meet together, that's a little heaven on earth. Where God takes care of you and provides for you, that's a little heaven on earth. That heaven as it is now, it's temporary. It's just not going to last. That, no problem. It must not be that important then. And God's made a decision that he's going to make it pass away. The heaven that is now is also this. It's been tainted. That's one of the reasons heaven is temporary. Rebellion has been in heaven. Rebellion. God made a perfect angel. He made all the angels, but he made one named Lucifer, and he was perfect. He was the crown of God's creation. He was musical in his being and his person. His job was to stand beside the throne of God and guard the throne of God. Can you imagine having a job that's absolutely worthless? Why would God need protection? No, it was a place of honor and respect. This perfect Lucifer angel standing by the right hand of God, perfect in his creation, crowning glory of all the angelic beings, and this perfect place. You know where he is? He's in the heaven that is now. Centuries ago, he rebelled. He got full of the eye disease. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend the sides of the north. He got filled up with pride, and that turned Lucifer into Satan. Rebellion hasn't been in heaven. It's a tainted place. If you go on to Revelation chapter 12, you'll find that one day down the road, this devil, ladies and gentlemen, is going to attack heaven. Going to take those angels he took with him in his rebellion, and he's going to go back and try and take heaven over. See, that guy is stupid. I agree, that's pretty dumb. You have to give him a little bit of a point for some boldness, but I'll tell you something about this man. Satan, ladies and gentlemen, just doesn't give up. It was centuries from his first rebellion to his last one, but when he knows he's going down, he's going after it. He's going to try one more desperate effort, and there will be, the Bible says in Revelation 12, war in heaven. The heaven that is now has been tainted. It's been tainted by rebellion. It's been tainted by sin. So when God is going to make us a place where we can be with him forever, he's going to remove every taint of anything wrong and every taint of any sin and every taint of anything that's not right. So you keep that in your thinking, please, this morning, when you think about the heaven that is now And you think, yeah, but Pastor Johnson, sometimes things on this earth, don't worry, God's going to make it right. Well, I wish you would do it now on your terms and your time. People figure this out. If you got everything you ever wanted in this life, you'd have to leave it here. Because you're going to have to leave this life. We're all going one way or the other, right? So let's get straight in our thinking this morning. That heaven as it is now, that beautiful paradise where God is and the angels and all of our saved loved ones has known the taint of sin. So God's going to make that right too. It takes centuries, but he'll make it right. And it may take time for God to make things right in your life, but you stay faithful to him. You trust him. You live for him. You do what the Bible tells you to do. And I guess what, my friend? He'll make it right. I lived in this town in a drunkard's home. Spent half my childhood sleeping under my bed from a drunk stepfather who used to come and beat on my mom and us. And I go to bed at night, hot tears run down my face and think, is this the way my life is always going to be? I had no idea the thing was any different than that. I had no idea as a boy. Now, by the way, God did not want that for my life. That was the choice people made, and I became subject to those choices. Remember that with your choices, please. But I had no idea when I was that kid that God said, you hang in there, son. I got something for you. I got something for you. You may have noticed I have kind of an active imagination. I got an ADHD brain. Doesn't get anywhere to my body, but it's up here in my brain. You know where my active imagination came from? Watching Leave It to Beaver as a kid. And Ozzie and Harriet. Now, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. And I used to get lost in those programs because I'd see their life and I'd think, man, I wish it was like that in my house. And I would imagine, my imagination helped me to escape. I had no idea as a boy God had something else for me. No idea. My childhood was tainted, but blessed be God, in the will of God, under the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, he made it better, my friend. Oh, yes, he did. So stop the whining about the childhood and the life and what you lost and the thing with the stuff and all that junk. Stop it. Get in the will of God. Stay in the will of God. Live for God. Love God. Do what he tells you to do. He will make it right. Heaven is tainted. But don't worry, he's going to make a new one. And he's going to make this one that's going to be perfect. The heaven that is now is not only temporary and tainted, but I got to get one more T in here. It is trusted. The heaven that's now is a trusted place. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hey, that's a promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said. I go there to prepare a place for you. That's a promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, that's a promise. I will come again. That's a promise. And receive you unto myself. That's a promise. That where I am, that's a promise. There ye shall be also. That's a promise. And God's people have been, go to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. God's people have been trusting the fact that there is a place called heaven. You say, yeah, you Bible-believing people, you got that pie in the sky, hope it's going to get better. Yeah, what do you got, huh? What do you got, Spanky? What do you got, huh? You got a hope in a better president? We need one. Hey, what do you got? Oh, we got a hope in a better economy, got a hope in lower inflation, got a hope in a better stock market, got a hope in better life, got a hope in better days, got a hope in this, got a hope in that. But if in this life only we're, but in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Now leave me alone. You say, oh, you just got that hope out there about heaven. Yeah, but it's not a wish so, it's a no so. I have the hope that my this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home. Leave me alone. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead and mock all that and hope you sit there and watch the news, hoping some knucklehead behind a desk who doesn't know nothing can help you straighten out something in your life instead of having what God has given you. Oh, my soul, leave me alone. I'm trusting in a place called heaven. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. It didn't start with us either, by the way. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse number 13. in this great hall of faith. It's talking here about Abraham from verse 8, but go to verse 13. These all died in faith. And he's talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received promises, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them. Are you persuaded? And embraced them. Have you embraced them? And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Got a lot of strangers out there. A lot of strange people too. Verse 14, but they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. You see, what city is that, Pastor Johnson? That New Jerusalem. I don't know what's in the paradise of God. I don't know if there's buildings there. I don't know what to do. I have no idea whatsoever. But I tell you what, I take that one over anything I've seen here. Any place I've ever been before, anything I've ever seen before in my entire life. And there are places I've been on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, that marveled me at their beauty, their majesty. Oh, incredible things. But I'm trusting in a place called heaven. You mean even a temporarily tainted one? Yep, I'll take that one. Because see, God did that. God made that right. God made it right even now for those who are in heaven. I'm trusting in a place called heaven. I'm trusting in it. Trusting in a place where I get to see him. I finally get to see him. I'm trusting in a place where I get to see my people. Got more and more and more on the other side now. I'm trusting in a place where, quite frankly, we get to leave this thing behind. And life's good, folks. Please don't misunderstand me. Say, oh, misery, suffering, and sorrow. No, it's not. God is good. Oh, yes, I said God is good. And this life is good with God. Oh, yes, it is. And he's gracious and he's merciful and he's kind. God is good. We still have a Chick-fil-A. I mean, if we don't get a Cracker Barrel, we still got a shot. If you haven't had their macaroni and cheese, you're probably not going to heaven. Anyway, the truth is, I get to heaven. Oh. But I'll take it. I'll take the heaven that is now, just like that, in a heartbeat. Because God promised it, and he never breaks a promise to his people. So those folks we said goodbye to here, it was just a parting goodbye, not a permanent one. And those faces that we saw and knew and loved all these years, we're going to see them again. In a better place, they'll be in a better situation. We'll be in a better situation. I know we think, you know, oh, I wish they were back here with me. And I think, yes, but no. Yes, I would love to have them here, but no. Once they're on the other side, I can't believe these people who say they died and they went to heaven. And then Jesus comes up to them and says, you have to go back. And so I came back and I think, liar, no way. Sorry, don't buy it. Don't believe it for 5 seconds. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be real selfish in this statement. I get over there, I ain't coming back. They ain't no angels in heaven shove me down that tube and get me back down here again. There's no way. I'm not coming back. I'm sorry. The race is run. It's finished. I'm done. I'm trusting in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trusting there's something on the other side of this life that's a whole lot better than this life, even as good as it can be. I'm trusting in that. Old Testament saints did. People who didn't even know who Jesus was but looked forward to his coming. The Bible said they looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They looked for a heavenly place. So get your chin up, Christian. Come on. Reason we get the mully grubs, I don't know what that is. I think it's Greek for down in the mouth. Walk around with a lip hanging out so bad you pick up carpet fuzz. The truth of the matter is the reason we get the mully grubs is we're too stinking earthly connected here. We got too much stuff. You're sitting and watching too much news. How much is too much? Bob, any of it. And you get your head in that thing and you're following the inflation rate and the stock market. And you're watching all this kind of stuff, and there's trouble over there, and there's this stuff over here, and now there's like 9 different variants of the thing that we all hate to talk about, and there's all these things, and what in the world's going to happen, and because you're too earthly minded. You got to get your head up, man. You got to get your head up and realize, yeah, well, this is kind of tough down here sometimes. It's a little rough down here sometimes. By the way, in case you ever wonder, there's no tanks running down our street. You're not getting Russian missiles dropped on your nation yet, but the truth of the matter is, look at me, it's still good, life's still good, but you better get your head up now. Bible calls it Hebrews, lift up those feeble knees. Lift up the hands that tremble. And get back to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, that heaven that is now, even though it's temporary, been tainted, the heaven that is now, it's there for us. Question, are you going? Not do you want to go. I mean, who'd be dumb enough to not want to go to heaven? I have come across a few, to be honest with you. Well, I'm not really interested in going to heaven. I want to be right here on earth. I think, you can have my spot, pal. Good night, nurse. You got to be kidding me. I'm waiting for the kingdom here on this earth. Well, you can have my part of that kingdom too, pal. Punch my ticket. I'm out of here. Gone. I didn't say, do you want to go? Who'd be dumb enough to not want to go to heaven? I mean, how foolish could your thinking be? Well, I think all that matters is what you get in this life. Are you kidding? Boy, you got a shallow way of thinking. And what kind of hope do you have? This is it? Please, no. I said, are you going and do you know it? Do you know that you know that heaven is your home? And are you certain? Now listen, and the only way you can be certain is if someone has taken the Bible and shown you from the scripture how you can know for sure you have eternal life. You don't figure it out on your own. You get it from the word of God. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Written, what's the Bible? Would you let us help you with that this morning? Let's stand our feet, please, would you? Everyone's standing, heads bowed, eyes closed.